You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM. Thank you.
Why are pro-abortion activists so committed to abortion? Because they believe lies built from centuries of bad ideas. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. If we wonder just how committed some Americans really are to abortion, well, the last couple of weeks have been quite a demonstration. Ever since a leaked draft opinion from the Supreme Court on the Dobbs case suggested that the court might overturn Roe v. Wade, pro-abortion activists have erupted. The offices of two pro-life organizations in Oregon and Wisconsin were vandalized, threatened, even set on fire. People are angry, and they're not faking it. Especially for Christians who are praying for an end to legal abortion in the United States, it should matter to us that people feel this strongly on the other side of the issue. But we can't challenge the misconceptions that they believe and spread if we don't understand what they are. Now, to explain the progressive commitment to abortion, we can follow a line of thought described clearly by Dr. Carl Truman in his 2020 book, The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self. In it, Truman traces the pro-abortion philosophy back several centuries, though these bad ideas certainly date even earlier. When Charles Darwin suggested in the mid-19th century that human life resulted from mindless and purposeless processes, he wasn't just making a biological claim. He was actually, in the end, making an ontological one. If human life was accidental, it has no ultimate purpose. So instead, purpose has to be invented. Enter Sigmund Freud, who suggested that what we really live for is sex, even if we don't know it. After Freud came the philosopher Herbert Marcuse, who agreed that sex is everything, and he also believed that power was a global currency. So to Marcuse, so-called sexual morals or norms aren't based in objective reality, they're merely invention used by people to exert power. Radical feminist Simone de Beauvoir built on this theory in her famous work, The Second Sex. If sex is a tool of oppression, then for women to be truly free and fully human, she argued, they had to make themselves eunuchs. That's her word, not mine. A free woman must, she wrote, be freed from nature and win control of her body. And every single one of these bad ideas has a common patron saint, someone who lived centuries earlier, philosopher Jean-Jacques Rousseau. He suggested that human beings are inherently good in their inner nature but are corrupted by our outer interactions with other people. The solution, therefore, to that corruption is to look inward, he thought. In other words, to be human is primarily a psychological, not a physical, reality. So the reason abortion is so very important to its supporters is the same reason it's so abhorrent to Christians. In this day and age, nothing else reveals more about what we believe it means to be human than what we believe about abortion. To abortion supporters, the prerogative of women to violently hinder the gender-specific ability of their bodies to bear children is central to their humanity. If we believe the biological realities of our bodies are oppressing or even limiting our feelings and desires, then we have to force our bodies to comply with our inner feelings and desires if we are to be fully human. Christians believe that to allow the killing of a vulnerable image bearer is to proclaim, among other things, that our bodies have nothing to do with being human. We should also remember in all this that we live among real evil. Sociologist Philip Reif believed cultures without a moral center produce what he called death works, cultural artifacts that do not build, they only tear down. Clearly, abortion is a death work of our culture. It is the demons that escape into the pigs and then throw themselves in the lake and drown. It's death for death, and if we don't put an end to it, it will not only kill babies, but the women and men who embrace it. That's why it's our job, as Christians, to build a culture that promotes life, any way and every way we can. Because when we do, we promote life not just for an individual child, but for an entire culture that is sitting on the brink because of bad ideas. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
With good news for today from Baptist Press, I'm Brandon Porter. African American, Asian, and Hispanic Southern Baptist leaders have responded to the Guidepost Solutions report of the Southern Baptist Convention's handling of sexual abuse complaints spanning two decades. Frank Williams, president of the National African American Fellowship of the SBC, shared with Baptist Press a letter written on behalf of NAAF executive officers, its executive board, and the approximately 4,000 African American Southern Baptist churches it serves. Williams expressed gratitude to the 2021 annual meeting messengers, the Sexual Abuse Task Force, SBC Executive Committee Interim President and CEO Willie McLaren, Executive Committee Chairman Roland Slade, and EC trustees for their work during this unprecedented time of reckoning within the SBC. Williams described the report as a clarion call for churches to enact policies and practices to protect against and respond to allegations of abuse. Specifically, he encouraged African American pastors to pray for survivors, Southern Baptist churches, and the 2022 SBC annual meeting. to actively engage in Southern Baptist life at all levels and to promote the values of collaborative fellowship, shared ownership, and cooperative stewardship that brings out the best in SBC life. In the summer of 2012, Bride writes, since God was telling him to prepare for his next season of ministry. Wright, the founding pastor of Atlanta's Johnson Ferry Baptist, had just completed 30 years of ministry leading the church and was preparing for his fourth decade at Johnson Ferry. His new book, Succession, Preparing Your Ministry for the Next Leader, shares not only the personal lessons Wright learned, but practical advice for churches and church leaders as they plan leadership transitions. Succession was released this June. Wright's book tells the story of how he and the leadership team at Johnson Ferry Baptist Church walked through an intentional leadership succession process and provides suggestions for churches and church leaders nearing the next phase of ministry leadership.
Good News for Today is made possible through our friends at the Voice of the Martyrs, a nonprofit organization that serves persecuted Christians around the world. Founded in 1967 by Richard and Sabina Wurmbrand, VOM is dedicated to inspiring believers to deepen their commitment to Christ and to fulfill His great commission, no matter the cost. Find out more and sign up for their free monthly magazine at vom.org/goodnews.
Sin Relief leader Coy Webb says Southern Baptist Disaster Relief is often not only the first to respond, but the last to leave. He points to situations like hurricanes and tornadoes, even refugee situations across the world, as he thanks Southern Baptist Disaster Relief workers for their courageous support of going to those who are hurting. You can read the full piece at baptistpress.com. Thank you.
by the grace of God, let me see you clap those hands. Oh, clap those hands. Ooh, clap those hands. If you can't by the grace of God, let me see you clap those hands. Oh, clap those hands. Come on and clap those hands.
Oh, clap your hands.
And let the church
say amen.
Because
oh,
he's been good.
He's been good.
He's been real good.
Real good.
Oh,
oh, clap your hands.
Say amen.
Say amen.
Oh,
he's been good.
He's been real good.
Real good.
If you're thankful for his grace, let me see you clap those hands. Oh, clap those hands. If you think about his grace, clap those hands. Come on and clap those hands. Ooh, clap those hands.
Oh, clap your hands.
And let's church sing.
Because
oh,
he's been good.
He's been real good.
Real good.
He's been good.
He's been good.
I have to testify.
Been real good.
He's been good to me.
He's been good.
He's been so good to me.
Been real good.
I just can't tell it all.
He's been good.
I just can't tell it all.
Been real good.
When I look at my life,
he's been good.
And I look at my wife,
been real good.
I just smile all the time.
He's been good.
'Cause I know I got faith, and I know I don't deserve it. I know I'm not worthy of it, but it's because of your grace and your mercy. I just wanna say you've been real good, real good, real good, real good, real good.
You've been better to me than to myself.
Well, there's somebody that won't ever give up on me. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never leave you alone. How many really believe that, though? I mean, I don't care how you might have felt like there was nobody there for you. There's one person. When I felt like I was all by myself, I knew he was right there. Hallelujah. You don't know the half of it.
Nor would you believe
what God,
has done
for me.
Today I stand before you.
Listen. take a real good look, you see that God's been really, 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 really good to me. Yeah.
The devil thought he had
me. He thought he had me.
I wanted to give up.
Yeah, yeah. There were times that I couldn't pray for my own self. Yeah, yeah.
I almost walked in my promise.
But I hung in there. I didn't give up.
You're listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Palmbay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
Well, good morning. Hallelujah. This is Reverend Gloria Ross from New Life Assembly of God, and we are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard. Our telephone number that you can reach us is 321-255-6999. Now, stay tuned to the broadcast. You'll be blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Once again, we thank the Lord and always give him grace, honor, pleasure. We give him all the glory because he's the one that is responsible for whatever that we are doing on this broadcast. I want to pray right now for my audience out there in Radio Land. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch the hearts. Save souls.
Yes.
Give them an opportunity, Lord, that they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, today we want to get into the subject of a woman with an issue of blood. The scriptures emphatically tells us that this woman, she had a problem.
Yes, she did.
The word says that a certain woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years, that's a long time to have.
Yes, it is, Pastor.
That type of a plague in your body. But we must all understand that you cannot deal physically with a spiritual problem.
Yes.
This woman had a spiritual problem. And the Bible tells us that she went to many physicians trying to get the healing. Well, the doctors only deal with the physical part of humanity.
Yes.
But when you have a spiritual problem, you have to deal with it from a spiritual perspective. So what we want to look at today is that this certain woman, she wasn't named in Scripture other than a certain woman. But the problem that we look at is that she had an issue of blood for 12 years.
Yes.
And she consulted many physicians, but she didn't get better. She became worse. So that gives us an understanding that it wasn't a physical problem. It was a spiritual problem because doctors, they deal with the physical man of us all, physical body. They know about the physical body. So I'm going to ask Minister Glory if she would read this from Mark 5 and verse 12. Because if we really understand, this thing has kind of like three parts. Jesus had already dealt with the wild man of the Gadarenes, and he was coming down going to Jairus' house. But what happens, there was an interruption because there was a woman that had an issue of blood. So I want Minister Glory to read this, and we want to take this line upon line and precept upon precept and really cut it up where we all can get an understanding that if anyone is dealing with a physical problem, we first must find out what it is. God will give us that revelation. But this woman, she was covenant, but she didn't know exactly what she actually was dealing with. So that's her first line of desire, was to go see a doctor. And Amen. Most of us today, we fall in that same category. But we as children of God must consult our great physician, and his name is Jesus. So we're going to look at what the Word of God says here today and take it line upon line and try and decipher exactly what was going on. Because if we flip all over this, then we're going to miss the point that Jesus was bringing to us all through this certain woman that had an issue of blood. So, Mr. Glory, would you read this? Praise God.
And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and has suffered many things of many physicians.
So the thing is that for 12 years, underline that if you have your Bibles out there in Radio Land, underline for 12 years, first of all, a certain woman, unnamed, but second of all, suffering 12 years from many physicians. You don't go to a doctor to suffer. You go to a doctor to more or less get healed of whatever the problems you may have.
Yes.
But this woman suffered from many physicians. Can you imagine the amount of finances that was involved in terms of consulting doctor after doctor? And we're not trying to castigate any doctors. The only thing we're trying to say is that a spiritual problem cannot be dealt with naturally. And this woman had a spiritual problem, as we are going to go and see in the latter verses here. But the doctors couldn't help her.
No.
The doctors could not help her because they were dealing with something that was spiritual, and they could not handle it from a natural perspective. So for 12 years, that's a long time.
Yes, it is, Pastor. 12 years.
12 years having a plague in your body. I would call it a plague. I'm saying what Jesus said.
Yes.
That's what was the plague. So for 12 years, she suffered. She did not get any kind of relief because she was going to the doctors and the doctors couldn't help her. How many people know that a lot of times you go to the doctors, doctors can't help you. They may try and give you something to kind of camouflage the situation.
That's correct.
But it's not going to make you better. We go consult a physician so that we can get better if there's something that's physically wrong with us. But in this particular case, Jesus is giving us an understanding that this certain woman, suffering for 12 years from some form of plague, and the doctors could not help them. So let's look a little further into this this narrative here and see what we can glean from it through the power of the Holy Spirit, because he's the only one that's able to show us the reality of what's taking place.
Amen.
Many people have talked about this woman. They've criticized this woman, but I want to tell you today that this woman, she, in the latter part of this text here, we're going to see that when you hear something, your mind's going to change.
Amen.
I said, when you hear something, your mind is going to change. And she heard of Jesus. Yes. So let's look at the latter part of it. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Minister.
And has spent all that she had.
Wait a minute. She was dealing with many physicians and spent all the money that she had trying to get better, trying to get healed, trying to get healed from a spiritual problem through a natural process. It won't work.
No.
It will never work because it wasn't designed to operate that way. You have a spiritual problem, you deal with it from a spiritual perspective.
Amen.
If there's a natural problem, then naturally the doctors could help you. They have their medicine and things that they could help you with. But this woman, for 12 years suffering from a plague that she could not get help from the physicians.
Amen.
The scripture tells us she spent all that she had, and she suffered many things from the doctors. Yes. Isn't that what it says? Yes. She suffered many things from many physicians. Well, why would you go to a doctor to suffer? You go to a doctor to get some form of relief.
Yes.
Praise God. So what happened is that this woman was going through something. But we're going to see the end shot of this whole thing where she's going to be blessed at the end, because what's happening is that she's going to realize that the problem that she has is not natural.
Yes.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
It is, Pastor.
And then Pastor says, and was nothing better. She wasn't getting any better, but rather grew worse. Mm.
So you don't go to the doctor to get worse. You go to the doctor to get healed.
Mm-hmm.
Get some form of relief, should I say. Not actually heal, but get some form of relief.
Correct,
from what's going on. So, Evangelist, you have any input into this, what we're talking about here? Because this woman...
Well, Pastor...
was suffering.
What you was talking on, I'm reflecting on my own life when I went into a hospital and the doctors say, Mr. Copeland, what's that stuff coming out of you? I said, you're the doctor, you tell me. Pastor, the doctors don't know everything, Pastor. It was only Jesus, Pastor. The doctors could do only what they could do, Pastor. So you're right. That lady got tired of going to them physicians, Pastor. They're looking to man when you should be looking to Jesus.
Praise God. But first we have to understand that what kind of problem we have. A lot of folks today are dealing with spiritual problems, and then they're going to the doctor. The doctor runs all the tests, blood work and everything, and they find nothing. They tell you, well, listen, your blood work is fine. We don't find anything. So that lets you know right then and there that it's not a natural problem.
Yes, yes, Pastor.
But this woman spent all that she had trying to get healed.
All that she had.
Can you imagine exhausting all of your financial ability or your financial finances trying to get healed? That means that you exhaust everything that you had from a natural perspective trying to get healed from something that is a spiritual problem. Praise God. Hey, praise God. Isn't that wonderful that she spent all she had? She consulted many physicians. Right. But instead of getting better, she got worse.
That worse.
Oh, I tell you, that's really something.
We don't even know if she could work, Pastor, because she was worse, Pastor. She couldn't even work, Pastor. Go back to work or do whatever she was doing.
Mm-hmm. Praise God, because what has happened is that she needed help.
Yes, she did.
And help is on the way.
Hallelujah.
Praise God, and help is on the way. And I tell you, I thank God for that, that the Lord, He knows everything. But what happened is that the intentions of Jesus was not to deal with her. The intentions of Jesus was to go to the ruler of the synagogue, the Jairus, because his daughter was lying at the point of death, and he wanted Jesus to come to his house.
Yes, yes.
But this interruption came in with this woman with the issue of blood.
Praise God.
Isn't that something? Amen. A lot of times you don't know where you're going. That's why the Holy Spirit has to be your lead, your
Amen.
Guide,
go ahead, Pastor.
Take you where you need to go.
Amen.
So what happened is that Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the one that knows all things. But amazing facts that take place here is that His intent was not to go and deal with this woman.
No, Pastor.
It wasn't that.
No.
He was headed to what?
Jairus'
house, because he had the problem. Come to find out, this woman, she interrupted that trip.
Praise God.
But Jesus is merciful.
Yes.
And He's compassionate, and He loves us all.
Yes, He does.
And He stopped and heard this woman's problem.
Amen.
Praise God.
He had a divine appointment to meet Jesus.
So, Mr. Gloria,
when she had heard of Jesus, praise the Lord, came in the press behind and touched His garment.
Go ahead.
When she had heard of Jesus. See, this is the most important thing here, is that, you know, a lot of us, we deal with things from a natural perspective, and we try to get our own way of getting things taken care of. Now, let's look back at this thing. We want to just kind of like go back and look at it. A certain woman, she never was named, number one. Number two, she had an issue of blood for 12 years. Mm-hmm. That is terrible. And thirdly, she had spent all that she had suffering from many physicians. I wonder how many physicians that she went to, because from one to the other, trying to get healed. So it says she spent all that she had, many physicians. Well, the doctor's not, he'll take your money, knowing that they can't do anything for you. I remember situation where the doctor told the person, said, "Well, listen, what you have is an incurable disease. I can't do anything with you. I can't help you." Well, say, "Well, if you can't help me, then let me get out of here so that I can call on the name of Jesus."
Amen.
Praise God. Who can help me? So this woman, she heard about Jesus.
Yes, she did.
Isn't that something? When she heard about Jesus, her whole direction, understanding, change.
Yes, sir.
And the faith now begins to activate in this woman's heart. I wonder, well, why was she going to these physicians, and now she's going to activate her faith after she heard of Jesus? That's what took place, because first of all, she was moving and leaning to her own understanding, trying to figure out, well, maybe if I go to the doctor, I can get healed of this problem.
Yes.
You see, that's leaning to your own understanding.
Yes.
Trying to get your help. And most of us do that today. We lean to our own understanding.
Yes.
But the Word of God tells us that we're not to lean to our own understanding, We are to acknowledge God in all of our ways, and he'll direct our path.
Yeah.
But this woman, she didn't have that opportunity at the beginning, because what it is that she consulted many physicians. She spent all that. I can't imagine somebody spending all the money that you have trying to consult the doctor to get healed, and you, instead of getting healed, you
getting
got
worse.
And now that's something to even talk about here.
Yes.
But when she heard about Jesus.
Glory to God.
You see, this is what everybody, you got to hear about Jesus.
Amen.
And when she heard of Jesus, then she purposed in her heart.
Yes.
Now, this is the thing here. When she heard about Jesus, she purposed in her heart that if she could touch the hem of his garment.
Yes, Pastor.
That she knew that she would be made whole.
Praise God.
Her faith was already at work, Pastor.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Faith was already at work.
Yes. Faith was activated when she heard about Jesus.
That's right.
Yes.
Praise God.
Prior to that, she heard about the doctors that she was trying to get healed from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when she heard about Jesus, she purposed in her heart.
Yes.
You see, and that's what faith would do. Faith took her from the natural.
Yes, to the supernatural.
To the invisible.
Yes.
The evidence of things not seen. That's what faith does.
Yes.
It took her to that so she could understand that if she could just touch. Now, the healing is not in the hem of his garment.
No.
But the scripture says that she purposed in her heart, if she could touch the hem of his garment, that she would be made whole. That's faith. Now she's operating according to faith because she heard about Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? She heard about Jesus.
Yes, Pastor.
And she purposed in her heart that if she could just get to Jesus, if you can get to the Master, your problems are solved.
That is correct, Pastor.
Your problems are solved. Praise God. You don't have to spend no more money to try to get healed.
Amen.
You can come as you are, and God charges you nothing. Exercise your faith.
Amen.
Don't spend your money like that trying to get healed when you have a spiritual problem instead of a natural problem. Well, there are folks out there who will take your money and still say, well, we've done all that, we can't help you. But this woman here, when she heard about Jesus, she began to purpose in her heart.
Yes.
That if she could touch the hem of his garment, that she would be made whole.
Praise God.
That she would be made whole. Praise God.
Amen.
So what did she do? She pressed. She pressed through the crowd.
Yes, she did.
First of all,
she didn't let nothing stop her, Pastor.
Praise God. And if you really want to look at it, according to the law, she was not supposed to be out there anyway.
That's correct, Pastor.
That's right.
She was unclean.
That's right.
Was not supposed to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
But she was out there pressing.
Yes.
Doing everything that she can to get her healing. Praise God. And this is what I tell you. No matter what's going on, whatever the problems may be, praise God, you got to press your way out.
Amen.
So let's go a little further into this story here, because I think it's very enlightening that as we look at this woman, a certain woman, and the problems that she had, and she was trying, first of all, to get help from the doctors, but instead of getting help from the doctors, she grew even worse. And she spent all their money. They took her money.
Pastor, they never stopped to tell her, you don't need to come back. I can't do nothing for you. You're just wasting your money coming to see me. They never told her that, Pastor.
That is correct. But when she heard about Jesus,
that was it, Pastor.
All right. Now, when she heard about Jesus, and Jesus is the one that's going to be the instrument in what she needs. But the thing of it is that you have to, and she had to forgive those doctors.
Yes, she did,
because
Pastor.
Of what they were doing, that they were taking her money knowing that they couldn't help her.
Mm-hmm. That's right, Pastor. Forgiveness is the key.
Yes.
If you really look at it.
Yes, Pastor.
So she purposed in her heart when she heard about Jesus that if she could touch the hem of his garment, she would be made whole. Mm-hmm. Now, let's go a little further into this story here, because what's happening is that when she heard of Jesus, she said, if I could touch him, mm-hmm. touch the hem of his garment, mm-hmm. I know that I would be made whole.
Yes.
So she began to press. She never said anything. She forgot about all the laws of Moses and everything that yes, was going on. Pastor. She needed healing in her body.
She closed that law book, Pastor. She wasn't, she wasn't thinking about that law book.
She needed healing in her body. So now she's going to no avail to get that healing, praise God.
Mm-hmm. Didn't cost her a thing, Pastor.
And praise the Lord. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. Mm. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague.
Well, when was she healed of that plague? It was when she purposed in her heart by faith that if she could touch the hem of Jesus' garment, that she would be made whole.
And that's faith. Praise God.
That is faith.
She didn't need him to grab her. No. You understand, Pastor? She wasn't looking for no hug or nothing.
Nope.
All she did was let her faith go to work.
See? And when she touched him.
Glory to God.
You see, you had other folks around you that it's a crowd. Because yes. they were thronging Jesus. I mean, they were moving about. Everybody was touching him. Everybody was touching Jesus in that crowd. And she pressed her way.
Yes.
The same way out there in Radio Land, if whatever you're going through, you have to press your way. But hear about Jesus first
yes.
before you try to press your way.
Amen.
Praise God. So what happened is that she touched him.
Ooh, glory to God. Him.
Now, let's look at this thing. She touched him.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't no simple touch. Because most of the people was touching Jesus while he was walking. The multitudes were with him.
Exactly.
So the disciples, they understood that because they were around him and he was around the disciples and so forth. So what happened is that this was a special touch.
It yes,
was a
it
special
was,
touch of faith.
Yes, it was, Pastor.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. It was a special touch of faith.
And she knew, Pastor, when she touched him, that blood, that whatever the problem was, dried up, Pastor.
The fountain, yes.
She knew she was healed, Pastor. She didn't ask them, do you think I'm healed? She knew she was healed. That's what the word says, Pastor.
Yes, praise God. But that's faith.
Nothing
that
but
is the faith.
Faith.
Yes, it is.
But when she touched him, then Jesus stopped and said, he asked the question, well, who touched me?
Yes, he did.
Now, what kind of a question would that be when you are amongst multitudes and people are bumping into you and everybody touching you? But this was a special touch.
Mm-hmm.
It's a touch of faith.
That's right.
Ooh, glory to God.
The Holy Spirit was at work in Jesus mm-hmm. Christ.
A touch of faith.
He just knew somebody touched him with faith.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Jesus immediately knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him.
That's right. The power had left him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why didn't he feel this all the while when he was walking and the crowds were with him?
Mm-hmm.
And this is why the disciples say, well, what do you mean?
Who touched you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There was a special touch.
Special touch. Mm-hmm.
Good God Almighty, a
Amen.
Special touch.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus stopped because he knew that virtue had gone out of him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
And then he saw this woman.
Yep.
The one that from the outset, when she said in her heart, mm-hmm. before she got to Jesus, that if I could touch the hem of his garment,
mm-hmm.
I know that I would be made whole. Now, the healing wasn't in that garment.
No.
Healing was Jesus himself.
You see, when she touched him, mm-hmm. virtue went out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Power God. Yes.
And she stood there trembling. I mean, there trembling.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. She had her head down.
Because mm-hmm. Jesus knew that power had left him past.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. When we touch him,
oh, glory to God.
We know that we will be made whole.
Yes, Amen. Pastor.
When we touch him, it's a special touch.
Yes,
it's not
Pastor.
Just calling on his name. She heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes more than that.
Amen.
It takes faith to believe in him. She purposed in her heart. She said, if I could just touch him. He was enclothed with the garments.
Yes.
That's Jesus. But the faith that she had, mm-hmm. you know, I want to say this. I strongly believe that she was healed mm-hmm. the moment that she purposed in her heart, because this thing is a heart faith.
I got you, Pastor. Yes.
And then she moved toward the Lord Jesus Christ.
Faith is an act, Pastor. So she was acting by faith.
And she touched him. And when she touched him, now the virtue left the master.
Amen.
If you can get to the master, you can get whatever you need. Praise God.
Amen.
So he has, but the question that I look at is that why would Jesus ask the question, who touched me?
Yes. Who touched my clothes?
He knows all things and everything.
Yes, he does, Pastor. Yes.
So the question was asked, who touched me? I tell you, when we touch him by faith, we can get what we need from him. Praise God.
Jesus is everything, Pastor. Yes, so right. Guess what, Pastor? Mm-hmm. I believe Jesus, why he said that, Pastor, he knew who touched him.
Praise God. Let's kind of speed this thing up here, because okay, the time ahead. Is winding up. So what happened is that when she touched him, mm-hmm. it was a special touch.
Yep.
Yes.
She was healed. Mm-hmm. But I want to get down to the 25th verse there, because the healing was not with what he did. He told her, he said, daughter, read that verse of scripture.
34, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague.
Praise God. Go in peace and be made whole of that plague. So her faith brought her to the point where the Lord Jesus Christ looked at her and said, daughter. Amen. He called her that covenant relationship now. Be healed Amen. Of your plague. Glory to God. We thank the Lord today for this time here, because it's amazing how time can slip away so fast when you're discussing this particular situation. But keep in mind, there was a certain woman that had an issue of blood 12 years, and she came to the master. If you come to the master, you can be healed, Amen. Whatever your problem may be. Don't try and get a natural healing from a spiritual problem. What it is that spiritual problems has to be dealt from a spiritual perspective.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Praise God. Well, we ask the Lord to bless you all out there in Radio Land.
Amen.
And stay tuned next week at the same time, in the same place, the same hour, and you will be blessed of the Lord. God bless you all.
Amen.
Until the next broadcast.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.